Right, good afternoon, everybody. We'll make a start. This is the compulsory acquisition hearing. It's part of the examination of the application by Roxhill Junction 15 Limited. So that I might short circuit my introductions, is there anybody here that wasn't here this morning? Right, okay, thank you. In that case, I'll just do some formal introductions. I'm Philip Asquith. I'm the lead member of this panel of the examining authority, which is charged with the duty of considering this application and making a recommendation to the Secretary of State for Transport. Sitting on my left is David Brock, fellow panel member. Absent today is a third member of the examining authority, Helen Cassini, who can't be with us today because of prior arrangements. Our job is, we're appointed by the Secretary of State to conduct this examination and to report to the Secretary of State of Transport. Also with us today is Dee Allen, sitting on my right, who's the case officer on a temporary basis, standing in for Kate Mignano, who's not able to be with us today. And at the back is Eva Sherman, case officer. So if there is anything you want to discuss on an administrative or procedural basis outside the hearing, then these are the two people to have a word with. The purpose of the compulsory acquisition hearing, we are conducting this hearing in accordance with sections 93 and 94 of the Planning Act 2008 and Rule 14 of the Infrastructure Planning Examination Procedure Rules 2010 relating to procedure at a hearing. I'm sure you'll be aware, and this is principally for the benefit of the three new people that have indicated that they weren't here this morning. As I'm sure you'll be aware, examinations of applications for development consent orders are principally conducted by means of a written process. However, hearings can be useful in enabling matters to be thoroughly explored, clarified, and understood. And we've decided to hold this compulsory acquisition hearing to ensure there's an adequate examination of the various subject matters that were listed on the agenda, which hopefully people have seen that agenda which was circulated last week. I believe there might be some paper copies if you don't have an agenda with you. Right. I've introduced the panel. I think it's helpful to, again, members sitting at the back who weren't present previously, if people around the table could introduce themselves. So I'll start with you, Mr. Booth.
Thank you, sir. Alexander Booth, representing the applicant.
Afternoon, Morag Thompson, Evershed Sutherland, for the applicant.
Afternoon, Laura Beth Hutton from Evershed Sutherland, also for the applicant.
Simon Hilditch, PWB Consulting, also for the applicant.
Georgia Brown from Evershed Sutherland, also for the applicant.
Good afternoon, sir. Heriwood Philpott, Queen's Council, and Mark Westman and Smith of Council, instructed by Osborne Clark on behalf of Ashfield Land Management Limited and Gaisley GLP Northampton, who are the Rail Central applicants.
Thank you. Is there anyone else sitting at the back that is likely to want to speak? Can I ask whether Mr. Blake from Bevis Charter Surveyors is here? Or Mr. Earlham, William Earlham? No? Okay. Thank you. Well, I think in that case, without any further ado, we'll turn to the agenda, which was circulated last week. Item three is the applicant's update of negotiations with parties with relevant interests in plots covered by the draft development consent order. Now, Mr. Booth, would you like to, or is it Mrs. Thompson who's going to lead off on that?
It's going to be Miss Hutton.
Thank you.
Hello. The update is largely as per Appendix 13 of the applicant's response to the first written questions, which is Document 8.2, yeah, with two small updates. One, which I think might have been submitted by email to the case officer this afternoon by Highways England, is that discussions are now progressing very well on an agreement with them.
And that's in relation to?
That's in relation to parcel 1/14, which is the only acquisition of land required.
Yes. Right.
Sorry, apologies, that's 1/15.
Yes, they're, I think on your updates at Appendix 13, you've got their interest is 1/14, 1/15, 1/14, 2/47. So
that's right. So yeah. 1/14 and 1/40 only rights are required, which the agreement does deal with, but in terms of the land, it's 1/15, and as we say in the appendix, we're removing 2/47 from an ECPA.
Yes, right, fine, thank you. So you're saying that discussions are continuing apace on
yes,
that?
Yeah.
Okay. And the other update?
The other update is in respect of parcel 5/14, which is the second the second sort of set of parcels of land owned by the Earlhams. Agreements have been signed for that. And we're just waiting to complete.
Right, sorry, that's 5/14.
5/14, that's right.
So that probably explains why they're not here today. Because they did have an objection in relation to the taking of 5/14. And that's being signed or about
it's
to be signed?
It's being signed, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And those were the only updates.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So that means that I think we've still got an outstanding objection looking at Mr. Philpott in relation to plots 1/7 and 1/12, which are plots which are common to both our project that's before us and obviously Rail Central's as well. Would you like to just say, clearly I've got your written representations on that in detail. I've seen the applicant's response to that. Do you want to just update as to where things stand and what's Rail Central's position is on that?
So yes, I was intending to take as read, as you obviously indicated, the written representations we put in, and also there were further comments we made at deadline 3, commenting on the applicant's deadline 2 responses. Yeah. And as you'll have seen from that, sir, the essential concern that underlies our position on those two plots is to ensure that the exercise of the compulsory acquisition powers doesn't prevent the Rail Central project being developed in an acceptable manner. And if at the end of the examination the examining authority and Secretary of State are satisfied that that is the position, then those concerns will have been addressed. As you'll have picked up, we have deliberately designed our application in order to enable it to accommodate the physical loss of those areas of land. But those areas of land are nevertheless important for our scheme because they are the location of an area of interaction between the two schemes, and you'll have seen that explained in our written material, because we then become effectively dependent on linking in to the footpaths and also the landscape mitigation that is proposed on those areas of land becomes important to us, and it's that area of interaction that we're most interested in. Now, our understanding, based on what's said in the statement of common ground that we have between ourselves and the applicant on that area of interaction, and also what's been said to us more recently in response to our suggested protective provisions, is that at deadline four, the applicant is going to propose requirements that will aim to address this area of interaction. Now, so you will recall from the first DCO hearing, and it's recorded also in our written summary, that I made very clear we are open-minded as to the way in which the areas of interaction are covered, either within the DCO or in an obligation, I said, but it effectively if it's within the DCO as a requirement as opposed to protective provision, we're open-minded provided it works and it's effective. And so although we had put forward as part of our written representation some suggested protective provisions which have not found favour with the applicant, there are concerns raised about the degree of control, we are content to see what the applicant comes back with by way of requirements on this area. There are other areas which I won't go through now, in order to see whether they're adequate, and if not, suggest ways in which they might be improved. So that's my way of update. So we're not pressing the particular protective provisions we put in, because if some matters are going to be dealt with by requirements, it may be that a package of requirements covering the different areas of interaction could be adequate, and we're open-minded. We're going to do our own work to see if we can achieve that alongside that which is being done by the applicant. And in that context, although, as you'll have seen from our written representations, we expressed concerns about not having come to discuss these points with us in advance of seeking compulsory acquisition, our prime focus is to make sure that they're addressed now through this examination. And on the basis that there appears now to be at least a willingness to put forward requirements on this particular area of interaction, we're hopeful that we'll find a position that is, if not agreed, at least the differences are significantly narrowed and we can have perhaps competing requirements to cover those matters. So that's my way of update. Against that background and against that update, I don't suggest that we need to make further submissions on the compulsory acquisition issues at this stage, because I hope that we've adequately set out our stall in writing, and that gives you an idea of where we currently are and where we hope to be as we go into 2019.
Thank you. Mr. Booth, do you want to respond to what Mr. Philpott has just said?
At length, sir. No. So I think this is very encouraging, because I think we may be tying matters up quite swiftly. I'm going to do as Mr. Philpott has done, which is to say, not going to take you through the representations which we have already made. You have our position in relation to compulsory acquisition as regards the land in which Rail Central has an interest, and so that's in document 8.8, and the relevant paragraphs are 2.32 and following. We set out our position in some detail there. So I note what Mr. Philpott says about his protective provisions. He indicates he's not pressing those, and so in circumstances where it said he's not pressing them, then I don't propose to respond to them. I mean, he raises the degree of control that would give to Rail Central by way of an example. So we do have numerous concerns about those, but in circumstances where they're not currently being commended to you, I think it probably is best if the examination waits to see how we propose to deal with these matters, that is to say by way of requirement, at deadline four when the next draft of the DCO is presented. And what is said by Mr. Philpott is that, I think in broad terms, that they're not going to take a point now that we haven't been to see them before. in relation to these matters. The reasons why there haven't been detailed discussions previously are set out in our representation, so I don't need to rehearse that. Really, sir, I think it is a question of wait and see, and we will provide requirements in the new document. We understand Mr. Philpott's team will be drafting requirements of their own to serve the same purpose, and perhaps we will have to wait and see what happens then. But unless there's anything further, sir, I'm not sure I can really assist.
Right, thank you. Was there anything further, Mr. Philpott, you wanted to come back on there?
No, sir, I'm going to take the same approach. Clearly we have different views about what should and shouldn't have happened before, but for the reasons I've explained, I don't want to take your time with them now.
Okay. Right, thank you. Right, can I ask the applicants what the position is regarding Network Rail? I think they had some concerns about compulsory purchase, but in the context of protective provisions and drafting of protective provisions.
Well, as regards the property agreements, there's ongoing discussions with Network Rail and meetings arranged for early in the year, in the new year. To deal with the property side, so that's probably explains why they're not here today. In relation to the protective provisions, the position remains as set out in the Statement of Common Ground in relation to the issue of paragraph 4, which was the Network Rail consent to the use of compulsory acquisition powers. There is some action on that. I was going to say progress, but that there's action in the sense that currently with Network Rail is an amendment to the protective provisions to try and build in some wording to address the comments they made in their deadline 3 submission, and they're currently considering that and we're awaiting their response. So there's ongoing attempts to reach common ground on that.
Thank you. So nothing more to say then really in relation to Network Rail. And we've covered the Earlham's objection on the basis that you're coming to an agreement with them. So are there any further outstanding matters that anybody wishes to raise in relation to compulsory acquisition? I'm looking at you, Mr. Philpott. No?
No, sir. I can confirm we don't have any other issues to raise today.
Thank you.
No, sir, not from this side either. Thanks.
Right, okay. Well, that was commendably short and sweet. fitting note to finish the day on. So, right, in terms of things are progressing outside the outside the examination, so we'll look forward to hearing from participants at the next deadline. Deadline 4 is noon on Tuesday the 8th of January, which I appreciate doesn't give you too many working days between now and then to get things moving, but I'm sure you'll do your best. So, unless anybody has anything else they want to raise, it just remains for me to thank you for all your participation, not only at this compulsory acquisition hearing, but the previous hearings we've had and the attendance at this accompanied site inspection, and to wish you all a happy festive season, however you might be spending it, and safe journey home. So, thank you.